one of the things I like to do on Thursdays is just see what the Holy Spirit brings. And needless to say, I didn't have much time to plan anything for you, right? I actually called Bible Bingo. And even though there's a marking in here, we're going to see what God opens up for us. Oh, nice. Yeah. Isaiah 66. Judgment and hope. So this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things so that they come into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I can read that one again. This is the one God esteems, okay? Esteems, meaning God regards. He listens to you. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. But whoever sacrifices a bull is like one who kills a man, and whoever offers a lamb like one who breaks a dog neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like the one who presents pig's blood, and whoever burns memorial incense like the one who worships an idol. They have chosen their own ways, and their souls delight in their abominations. A lot of us have our own different ways that we do things, right? We've done things a certain way, and it's the way that we want to do it. But when it's not in line with the way God wants to do it, we got a problem. It's God's plain telling here. So God says, so I will choose harsh treatment for them, and I will bring upon them what they dread. For when I called, no one answered. And when I spoke, no one listened. They did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me. Listen to that. For when I called, when God called, no one answers. We're called to read God's word every day, okay? Every problem you've got in this world, the answer is in here. But when we don't study and read this every day, the answers elude us. And we end up turning to different things in different ways, right? Because the word also tells us whatever seems right to a man, right? God's ways are not our ways. But when we're in God's word each day like this, he gives us all these things. So when God calls, he expects us to be obedient, right? God's looking for obedience. Somebody the other day, I was working with somebody, praying for somebody the other day. And God said, I want you to give them some money. They didn't ask for money, okay? God said, give them some money. Now, I got a choice there, right? I can say, they didn't ask for it. I don't have it. I can go down the whole laundry list of human worldly things, right? But I've learned that I got to be obedient. Now, how do I know it was the voice of God, right? That's everybody should be saying that. How do you know you weren't being tricked, Greg? How do you know you didn't give that to that person? They went out and bought drugs or alcohol or whatever else. Okay, look. When God says do something, and we are obedient to what God tells us to do, we're done. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the rest, right? We've been obedient at that point. So I've heard many people say, oh, you were taken. Boy, that guy on the street, he took you for a ride. Oh, yeah. It's not my problem. If God, now, don't get me wrong. I've had a check in my spirit, too, where God says, no, don't. But the question everybody should be having right now is, Greg, what is it? How do I know? How do I know if it's the voice of God? I'll tell you, it's really, really simple. What does the word of God say about giving money or giving, just giving anybody anything, right? He tells us to bless others, right? God doesn't say, go up to that person, stab them, kill them, take away their money, spit in their face. So when you hear the voice of God calling you to do something, it's really simple. Does that line up with the word of God? When you hear this voice in your head, oh, that guy just cut me off. Let's pull up in front of him. Let's tailgate him. Let's do all that. Is that the voice of God? We can try and trick ourselves and make it kind of think maybe, right? Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good? Come on, let's be worldly here for a minute. Doesn't it feel good? Somebody blows on by you. You get right up on their bumper, and then they slam the brakes and you hit them, and then it's a real mess because, look, they need consequences, right? So we have earthly consequences for every choice we make. Every choice we make on this earth has an earthly consequence, but guess what? God is gracious enough to forgive and forget. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 tells us that God's mercies are fresh and new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So what does this mean? It's really simple. When we repent, and by the way, repent means that we agree with God that we sinned and we don't want to do it anymore. Okay? So when we repent of our sins, God walks up to that blackboard and erases it. So when I wake up the next morning, I'm fresh and clean. Now, isn't that awesome? Every one of us sins in some fashion every day, right? Something happens every day. But all we do is say, oh, God, that's not me. I really don't want to do that, Lord. I want to be like you. I want to be like Jesus. Because Jesus came to this earth walking with the Holy Spirit. Remember, I mentioned that earlier. Born of the Holy Spirit from the start. He wasn't born of man where he had to wrestle to overcome and be born again. Jesus was born right from the start. And that was the only way it could happen, so Jesus could be the sacrifice that God called, that God needed to end all the atonement of sins. Because remember in the Old Testament, for the forgiveness of sins, God required the shedding of blood. Not only did he require the shedding of blood, but the animal also had to be pure, right? Without defect. No spots on it, not a broken leg, and typically the firstborn animal. He required that shedding of blood. So Jesus had to become that sacrifice of perfect, without blemish sacrifice. So the shedding of blood by Jesus is for the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus loves all of us so much. 2,000 years ago, he knew every one of you right here now. And they gave us this really, really cool book that fills in all the gaps. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you and exclude you because of my name have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. Yet they will be put to shame. You guys got that one? You're standing in the joy of the Lord. And all this darkness out here is trying to come against you, trying to distract you. See, that's the enemy's number one trick, right? Distraction. Isolation. When the enemy can get us isolated, he can start pounding us and filling our head with all kinds of thoughts. All things that just don't go, that don't belong. And that's why it's important to know what God's word says about all this stuff. When the enemy says, oh, that's okay if you go ahead, that'd be all right. Oh, wait a second. The word of God says this. So I'm not going to do that. Get out of here, you silly little demon. Because that's the mission of the enemy. The enemy's mission is to, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And that's the best part. Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Jesus so loved the world. God sent his son, right? John 3:16. God sent his son because he loved the world. But then the next verse goes on to say, he didn't come here to condemn the world, but to set us free, okay? That's freedom. There's freedom in Jesus with that. Wow. Hear that uproar from the city. Hear that noise from the temple. It is the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve. Kind of a worldly aspect of that, isn't there? Cool! those people that did me wrong, by golly, they're going to get what they deserve. But guess what it says at the other end of here, where Jesus is talking about us. He says, pray for your enemies, right? However, in the Old Testament, there's a really cool scripture that says when we pray for enemies, we're heaping hot coals upon them. All right? You're hot coals. Destruction. But we're called to pray. We are called to pray and called to lift up God. Isn't God an awesome and amazing God? And so here we are. We saw the enemy messing with Jim this morning. We prayed. We declared. Bless God, we've got modern medicine and that to help through that. And the times when prayer alone doesn't do it. But our God is an awesome God. And you will hear Jim's message. You will. It will happen because God is good. Lord, I thank you for this time of fellowship. I thank you, Lord, that you're an awesome and amazing God. And I thank you, Daddy, that the eyes and the ears and the minds of all those who hear my voice, that your Holy Spirit speaks and opens them to receive, Lord, your peace and your joy and your freedom, that they're not drugged down by all the things of the day. I thank you, Daddy, that you stir up a hunger in all who hear my voice, a hunger to get into your word, to read your word every day, and to learn and grow and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal and show what needs to happen in our lives, where we need to go, how we need to bless. I thank you, Daddy, that you make obedience very clear. When they hear the voice of God, we say, ooh, I need to be obedient. That's God calling. That's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords calling. I got to do what he tells me, no matter how weird it seems within the earth, no matter how awkward that situation is where you're walking forward to somebody, where you have to step out. God will call us to do things out of our comfort zone, and that's to make us grow. So, Lord, I thank you for your special blessings and your special peace. Special peace as we rejoice in the victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. I do a lot of off-the-cuff like that stuff on Thursdays, so I'd love to see you on Thursdays, too.